Good morning, 640 News Radio 92.3, informative local six lanes. all six lanes are open on the bridge, finally, at long last. And I have been alerted by some friends who are out that they say PPD and Gulf Breeze Police are enforcing today. So they want you to slow down. You know, don't get a ticket. Don't be one of the stats, because you know there will be tickets issued. So don't be one of the stats. Joining us now, we've got Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2, the southern half of Escambia County and the waterfront portions of Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How's it going?
It's going great. And I have to start with this. I don't know if this is any kind of a record, but I will say kudos to you. You're the only legislator I know personally who has now had not one, but two Snopes articles written in your defense against mischaracterizations of legislation you're running that had gotten national attention for the misinformation. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always appreciated anytime anybody points out that something's being misleading about something you're working on. So I'll take any defense I can get.
Well, yeah, no, and it's just kind of one of those things like, why can't people just get the bills right? Why can't they just read them and report on them accurately? This is the HB 999 and HB 991, one of which is the lawsuit, the defamation bill, and the other one is, oh my God, my brain, it escapes me right now. What's the other one?
So the other one is HB 999. Which is regarding like DEI.
Oh, that's
DRT
right.
On
all the reforms at the college level. That's exact. Thank you for it. I just, my brain went, what is that one? All right. So today I've got questions about, there's a lot of things I have questions about. One, permitless carry, we're poised to pass that today, right?
Yeah, the Florida House is poised to pass permitless carry today, and also a massive, we're taking on the Senate. What the Senate sent us over for affordable housing, which will essentially double the amount of spending for affordable housing initiatives in Florida. It'll be somewhere in the range of about $700 million plus dollars for affordable housing initiatives just in that one bill, the fiscal in that one bill.
Wow. And is that now, is that, and I have not read that bill, is that incentives for building, you know, multi-unit, single family, you know, what's the kind of the structure of that incentive plan?
So it's both. So we already have programs like Ship and Sale. Those are acronyms. Those are our like apartment dwelling incentives for affordable housing, and then also our programs to help keep people in their homes and help them help cover their down payments for their first-time home purchases. We also have this program called Hometown Heroes, which we started last year, which we're increasing by $100 million or proposing to in this bill. This is a bill that's been sent over to us by the Senate. So we've just taken on the Senate's language. So once it passes today, it'll go to the governor, and I think it'll be a huge help. You know, it's a self-inflicted problem, right? We have so many people moving to Florida. One of our biggest issues is affordable housing and keeping people in their homes, being able to afford property insurance, et cetera. So you know, taking that on and really literally doubling our efforts to address that for constituents is a big deal.
Yeah, and I think this is Kathleen Pasadomo's big initiative, and kudos to her for it. And it's kind of funny how the Democrats have been criticizing Governor DeSantis for the affordable housing crisis, which the answer is, well, the problem is we made Florida too awesome. I mean, and, you know, and so therefore we have a housing crisis is the issue. The permitless carry, as I understand it, this would also mean that that open carry is not going to happen this year, right? That's not on the table anywhere.
So open carry, there was an amendment proposed by a member on the House side. That member pulled their open carry amendment a couple days ago. So right now it is just related to permitless, getting away from our concealed carry permit requirements in Florida. And that's really what was kind of, it's been discussed and agreed to by the House and the Senate. So that's what we're going to be sending to the Senate later today.
Okay, very good. And just in case people haven't heard this much and we haven't talked about it enough, the rules for who can carry concealed do not change. Anybody who would be eligible for a permit is able to carry. Anybody who would not be eligible for a permit still cannot carry. And you still can only carry in the places where it's allowed. There's a whole list of places where you cannot carry, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it really, ultimately, the only real-life effect of the bill from my perspective, is I can take one laminated card out of my wallet. And I did not. And honestly, with the questions yesterday on the bill, on the concealed carry permit bill, I didn't realize just how safe that laminated card in my wallet made some Democrats feel.
Fascinating. Well done. I like that. We're talking to Alex Andrade. He's our state representative for District 2. Alex, hang on for just a second. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. Everything is looking good. 29 not showing any problems. It looks like I-10, I-110 reporting as clear. 98 clear too. If you see an accident or a slowdown, let us know. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to
also
Alex.
Also, nice one, Alex.
Yeah, well done, right? Back to Alex Andrade. Alex, one of the things that we've seen the governor announce in recent days, and I guess we've got a bill that wants to take the parental rights bill and expand the prohibitions on the discussions of sexual orientation and gender identity up from the third grade to the eighth grade. Apparently, the governor wants to push it all the way up to the 12th grade on rulemaking within the agency as opposed to from a bill. I talked about this about a bunch yesterday. I'm certainly willing to have that conversation, but it absolutely feels to me like we were sold the K through 3 because who can possibly object to a 7-year-old? And then the very next year, it's camel under the tent stuff that we're trying to push it all the way to 8th grade or 12th grade. Am I perceiving something wrong here? It feels like like it was a strategy instead of just up front, let's just ban it to 8th grade or ban it to 12th grade like we really intended.
So when you say strategy, I want to make clear there was no conspiracy last year, right? So this wasn't a bill that was planned ahead of time. This was really one House member's bill on K through 3 that they thought was a good idea, and just by virtue of the fact that opponents really grabbed onto it and made it a much bigger deal and issue than it was. It brought a lot more attention to it. We've had broader discussion since. And the idea really is, I mean, this kind of makes sense for like why are kids in middle school? Why should kids in middle school be taught gender theory or a teacher's subjective viewpoints on sexuality? When you ask that question, even I'm like that just sounds bizarre to me. I think it's less of a strategy or a plan or a conspiracy, and more just we've all thought about it now. It's been brought to the forefront. We've seen more and more evidence of people pushing back against that bill, kind of saying they do want to be teaching kids about this stuff. And we're just, it's a result of more public discourse, the Overton window kind of shifting, and us all realizing just how prevalent this stuff became. It is moving right now. I don't disagree with it. This just makes sense.
Okay. Well, that actually puts my mind a little bit more at ease because it felt exactly like what the critics were saying is, well, you're saying K through 3 now and what you're going to do later. And what you're saying is, based on the opposition and the yelling and screaming and the hissy fit pitched over at this last year, maybe we ought to consider what's going on in the totality of the school system and think more about this. And sure enough, we've thought more about this and we really think it ought to be a higher age limit. I hear that argument. I mean, I take that to heart. One of the other things, a big thing, is we did pass the voucher expansion. I think that's going to the governor's desk, if I'm not wrong. And this did go with every single person with no restrictions whatsoever. I still ask the same question I asked before, which is I don't get the public benefit from spending public money to compensate people who are already paying for private school and can easily afford to do so with their income. I don't see that other than as some kind of a weird philosophical thing. But that's what we're sending, right? That's the bill that's going.
So it is, but I do want to point out that, millionaires and billionaires can send their kids and sometimes do send their kids to public schools at a cost to the Florida taxpayer closer in the range of like $11,000 to $12,000 per student. Now, the voucher program is a value of $8,000. So if you have anyone shifting from a public school system to using a voucher to go to a private school, every shift like that actually saves the taxpayer money. And that's borne out by the fact that we rolled out our budget proposals this week in the K-12 appropriations chair in the House, Josie Tomko, rolled out a plan that would result in Escambia County and Santa Rosa County school districts receiving more money. The public school district would receive more money under the House's plan in conjunction with that voucher program that's coming down the line. So, you know, there are dynamics at play as far as, you know, funding mechanisms. But conceptually, I mean, this is it makes sense to me. I mean, parent is the ultimate arbiter of whether or not their child is getting a good education, and they should be allowed the choice.
Well, no, I see that on the spending side that that's continually increasing, and I get that. But they're already sending their kid to private school. It's not a gain of 3. It's a loss of 8 because we're already up 11, right? Because they're already not sending their kid to public school.
Oh, Andrew, millionaires are not a monolith. They don't all send their children to private school.
Okay, but the ones who do, right? But the ones who do, that's the key, is the ones who are already doing it will now become eligible for these scholarships. That slice doesn't save us money. That costs us money.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, but at the same time, conceptually for me, right, if you're a taxpayer and you're paying into this system and you have a child who, you know, you've already placed in private school, I mean, you're paying essentially for 2 children to be educated with your tax money, and one of them's not yours. You know, that dynamic, that kind of argument, a lot of times has been borne out, like, by the teachers' unions. And I'm not saying that you align with the teachers' unions, Andrew, but
how dare
that
you?
Argument for teachers' unions never really held weight with.
Hey,
it never really held weight with me.
Last thing, I just want to ask you because I didn't understand the news release. There was a story in the News Service of Florida that the Senate was working on a plan to incorporate the Garcon Point Bridge into the overall toll system that FDOT operates. That's already happened. I don't understand what's going on in the Senate. Can you clarify this at all?
Yeah. So Senate Bill, I believe it's 1250, brought by my former colleague in the House, Nick DeSigley. It's the Department of Transportation bill for the agency. And it just provides statutory authority kind of retroactively for what they've already done. If you go to the FloridaTurnpikeSystem.com, Garcon Point's already part of the system. They're already operating it. But this is the statutory authority that has to come along with the operation of this system. So we're just putting in law pretty much what's already happened.
Okay, so this is basically an after the fact. Here's the real permission for the thing that we're already doing. Okay, that makes sense to me because I was like, what are they approving? It's already there. You know, people are already paying it. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2.
And the legislature already signed off on it.
Thank you. Very good. He is our state representative for District 2 and just gives us on Friday mornings during session an update on what's going on in session. Alex, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for explaining things to us and for being with us this morning, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet.